وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك أزر مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى shower his choicest blessings on you. آمين. الحمد لله. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين كفروا وماتوا وهم كفار أولئك عليهم لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness to Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, Bukhari Sharif reports that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Those people who have some knowledge should expound it, while those who have no knowledge should say, Allah knows best. Instead of pretending to know, it is wise to say, Allah knows best, when you have no knowledge of something." Allah instructed His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Say, I ask not of you any recompense, neither am I from amongst those who pretend." It is for this reason that the ulama and the scholars state, to say, "I do not know," constitutes half of knowledge. It will be noticed of many an ignorant person that they can never say, "I do not know." They are prepared to comment on every subject. Without any knowledge of deen and religion, they write books which include incorrect subject matter. It will also be noticed that when any reliable and experienced mufti is questioned, then some ignorant bystander will reply before the mufti can have a say. This is so because people have no perception of religious responsibility and accountability in the hereafter. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "The person who is most bold to issue rulings is most bold to enter the fire of Jahannam." To comment on the Quran, to report a hadith, or to expound a ruling is indeed a very great responsibility. Sayyidina Muhammad Ibn Munkadir rahmatullah alayhi said, "Without doubt, the alim, the religious scholar, is the intermediary between Allah and his bondsman. So think well about the discharging of this responsibility. The effective method of discharging this responsibility is not to answer by mere estimation and to say nothing without possessing full knowledge about the subject. Should one have no knowledge concerning something, one should make it clear, then one does not know." Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever recites a ruling which was not based on proper knowledge or research, the sin is upon the one who has issued the ruling. A ruling should be properly researched. Thereafter, should any error become evident, its rectification should be announced, and the person to whom it was issued should be duly informed." The second lesson, another important aspect of issuing rulings is that the questioner should be able to understand the answer fully. If he does not understand, he should also be able to correctly interpret the same. His understanding should be such that should the situation recur, he must not fall into error. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala stated, "Explain to the people only such things which are within their understanding. Would you like people to falsify Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because by telling them things beyond their grasp, they may falsify Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Sayyidina Muaz radiyallahu ta'ala an, that person will enter Jannah who meets Allah without ever ascribing partners to him. Sayyidina Muaz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked, should I not convey this glad tidings to the people? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, no, for I fear that people will merely rely on this and not perform any good actions. This is in Bukhari Sharif. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, the person who replies to each and every person's question is certainly insane. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states further in the Noble Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا لَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابُ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْظَرُونَ. Verily, those who disbelieve and die as disbelievers, upon these people is the curse of Allah, the angels, and entire mankind. They will dwell therein forever. Neither will their punishment be lessened, nor will they be given any respite. The curse and punishment for those who die as infidels and kafirs. This verse mentions the chastisement of those people who die in infidelity. The general context of the verse would include even those Jews who remain obstinate in their disbelief and also encouraged others to do the same. Not only did they not accept the truth, but they hid the attributes of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, preventing others from accepting. The verse will also refer to the Christians, idolaters, atheists, as well as to those who reject the Prophet alaihi wasallam. Reject the Islamic beliefs, fundamental Islamic principles, and the finality of prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also included in the warning are the heretics, fire worshippers, and apostates. In short, every infidel and kafir will qualify for these curses of Allah, His angels, and entire mankind. It was discussed in the previous verse that curse denotes being far from the mercy of Allah. Indeed, the furthest one can be from Allah's mercy is to spend an eternity in the fire of hell. This is the greatest curse. For this reason, Allah then mentions, they will abide therein forever. Sayyidina Abul Aliyah rahmatullah alayhi explains that they will remain in hell and under the curse until eternity. It may occur to one that the infidels do not curse one another, so why should the curse of the entire mankind be on them? The reply to this is that although they do not curse each other in this world, they will most assuredly do so in the next world. In Surah An-Kabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then on the day of judgment, you will turn your backs to each other and curse one another. Your final abode will be the hellfire, and you will have no assistance. In Surah A'raf, the following verse appears. Whenever any group will enter Jahannam and hell, it will curse another. Eventually, when all will find the other also in there, the latter ones will say regarding the former ones, O our Lord, these were the ones who led us astray, so give them a double punishment. Surah Ahzab is the following verse. And they will say, O our Lord, we followed our leaders and elders who led us away from the correct path. O our Lord, grant them a double punishment and curse them ever so greatly. In the Tafsir Durr al-Mansur, Sayyidina Abul Aliyah rahmatullah alayhi says that on the day of judgment, the infidel will be resurrected and Allah, his angels, and the whole of mankind will all invoke their curses upon him. The punishment will not be lessened for them. Similarly, Allah says in Surah Nahl, when the oppressors see the punishment, it will not be lightened for them, nor will they be granted respite. Allah says in Surah Mursalat, on this day they will be rendered incapable of speech, neither will they be permitted to plead their innocence. Destruction will be the lot of the falsifiers upon that day. Now some rulings concerning curses. It is permissible to invoke the curse of Allah upon liars or oppressors in general. However, it is not permissible to invoke the same upon a specific person, whether he be a Muslim or an infidel. To specifically curse a particular individual will only be permitted if it is known for certain that the person died as a kafir. Example, Fir'aun, Pharaoh, Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, etc. A person who is alive and may even be an infidel kafir cannot be cursed, since it cannot be said with certainty whether he will die in disbelief. Many people are careless in this regard and even invoke curses on Muslims. Teachers are especially accustomed to such speech. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu is reported that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, whenever someone curses another, the curse ascends to the heavens and finds the doors closed there. It then goes back earthwards only to find its doors closed as well. Then it searches right and left for an exit only to find none. It then finally descends upon the one who uttered it." This is in Sunan Abi Dawud, on the chapter of Adab. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that the wind once lifted a person's shawl, upon which he cursed the wind. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Do not curse it, for verily it blows by the order of Allah. Without doubt, whoever curses something which is not deserving of the curse, it will return unto him." Ruling number two, any statements synonymous to a curse will only be permissible when it is used in accordance with certain principles. The Arabic term mardud, rejected, and the Urdu word patkar are used for invoking curses. Women are generally in the habit of using cursing words and their respective synonyms. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once proceeding for the salat of Eid al-Fitr or Eid al-Adha when he happened to pass by some women. He addressed them thus, he said, "Oh women, you should give charity, for I have seen more of your gender in hell." The women asked as to why this was so, upon which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "You curse very often and are not appreciative towards your husbands." Mishkatul Masabih. وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. And your Lord is but one Lord. There is no other deity besides Him, the compassionate, the merciful. The true deity is but one. In this verse, the oneness of Allah is expressed, and the belief of the idolaters is rejected. It asserts that He is unique and unrivaled, both in His being and in His attributes. He is the one, most compassionate and most merciful. He has no match, neither any peer, nor any equal. He is the one. He is somewhat independent, with no partner. Since He alone created everything, only He deserves to be worshipped. He is most merciful unto all His creation. None of the false gods which people associate as partners to Allah are worthy of worship. Neither are they creators, nor sovereigns, nor compassionate, nor merciful as Allah is. Allah is one. He is independent. He had never given birth and He was not begotten. And there is none that is comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that is deserving of worship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true feeling, the true aqidah of the tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make our reliance and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala absolute. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.